Welcome to the Lipstick League. I'm Natalie Eganoff.
And I'm Nicole Mahalik. And you know, it's such a weird time in sports where like there's not much going on, but yet the beauty of the Lipstick League is that it's where sports and pop culture comes to play. Yeah. Natalie came up with that, by the way, which was like genius. And there's been so much fun sports and pop culture moments over the last 2 weeks that we're like, this is why the Lipstick League exists, right? Like, this is absolutely why it's been so fun that all this stuff has come up. And we recorded a couple of weeks ago, just like an update on, you know, life and stuff. And, you know, the Phillies are finally over 500 and
they brought back Callum Scott's Dancing on My Own, which
how do you feel about recycling songs?
Well, so they didn't want to, and I understood why, because they were like, it's a 2022 thing, but I can't help but not acknowledge the fact that once they started playing again, the momentum started shifting. And look, if you listen to this podcast, you and I, or you know that Nicole and I, we're all about energy and vibes and mojo and stuff. And maybe it's just something about Somebody Said You Got a New Friend. Maybe, look, it does something to me inside.
First I was like, it's weird to like bring back the old song. But like, listen, there's so many songs that I listen to over and over and over again that hype me up and get me so excited. And like, it doesn't matter how many times I listen to them, I still love them, even if they're like 10 years old.
Yeah.
And so like when I listen to In Paris with Kanye and Jay-Z, and I'm like, doot, 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 Balso Hub.
Yeah.
Like, I still love that song.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I get it. Like, if there's just some songs that it doesn't matter how old they are, how many times you listen to them, like they just do something to you. They just give you this energy. Like, yeah.
And you know, it's so funny. Callum Scott, I think I just saw another report like a couple of weeks ago, like that song is now like in the billions stream.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like, all because of us. It has to be. I'm sorry.
Well, 100%. It's a great song. There's no doubt in my mind that Callum Scott even came out and said it.
Yeah. He was like, thank you, Philadelphia, for that song. So yeah, the Phillies are on the upswing. Literally. get it.
The thing is like, I just don't follow the Flyers like I should. I just never was into hockey. And
right.
I am the ultimate like bandwagon. Like, obviously I know a little bit what's going on, but they just annoy me. And then the whole NHL came out, how they're not going to be required to wear like the pride jerseys anymore.
Right.
And I was just like, I'm just annoyed. Like, just, I don't know. Like if the NHL just folded, I'd be like, good riddance. You grew up loving hockey, so you have a different, yeah. So this is a good conversation.
Yeah, I grew up as the biggest Flyers fan in the city of Philadelphia, I think. My AOL screen names were Hockey Girl 88, Flyers Chick 927. I also think I was, and last but certainly not least, Lil Flyers Angel 14 for my favorite player at the time, Justin Williams.
Wow. So I was obsessed with Grease. We used to watch Grease all the time.
Yeah.
And so I said my screen name was going to be, I love like the pink ladies. And so it was P Lady 702. That was the number of my dorm. And then it just came to be Plotty. Because P Lady, people just, what's Plotty?
Oh my God.
So that's how people read it, was Plot. They're like, what's a Plotty?
You're like, no, I'm a pink lady. So then
I changed it to Too Cutesy. And that's what it was Too Cutesy.
I don't know why that was a thing. We were like, we're cute. We're angels. It was just like such a thing at the time. But
yeah,
I was such a Flyers fan. And especially, it's so funny. So I just want to talk about their rebuild briefly as a lifelong Flyers fan. And for any of our listeners who care about the Flyers. So they hired Keith Jones, Jonesy, formerly of the WIP Morning Show. I worked with him for years. And he gave me the best career advice ever. It's been in print. When people are like, what's the best career advice you've ever been given? It was Keith Jones. And he said to me, kid, you just got to keep showing up, because this was very, very early on in my career when it was really hard and I wasn't making any money. And I said, this is just so hard. He said, kid, you just got to keep showing up because people stop. And eventually you'll get paid. And it was the most simple life advice, but he was right. You know, like, and at that time I look back and he's a very pragmatic, logical, rational human, and also an astute observationist of the game of hockey. He even jokes around and says that he was a better analyst than he was a hockey player when he played with the Flyers in the mid 90s. And I would also like to note that Keith Jones saved Eric Lindros's life, for the record.
How?
Okay. So when Lindros was going through all of his concussions, I mean, it was bad. This was toward, like, I forget what year this was. Or maybe he had a punctured lung at the time. Eric Lindros was very, very, very injured. And this is how I remember the story. I haven't looked it up in years.
Right.
This is me, 9-year-old, being like, Keith Jones is my hero. So I think they woke up. They were maybe on the road somewhere and Lindros couldn't breathe. And then, like,
yes, I remember this. Yeah. Okay. I remember hearing this story.
It was Jonesy who saved Eric Lindros's life. So I
wasn't like, he like in the showers or in the bathtub or something?
Something. There was like, I'll look it up and get the right thing. But like, there was something that happened. I thought that they were sleeping and he woke up. But anyway, so Jonesy saved Eric Lindros's life. And again, because a lot of people were like, it's a former Flyer, it's a hire. And then, you know, there's Danny Briere and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And then they bring in Patrick Sharp, another former Flyer. So it's like, are we getting the same regime? And I would just like to say, I don't think that we are, because I think to be a good analyst at the game, you have to have a full understanding of how the game should be played. And if there's nobody else that I want in that position other than Keith Jones. And I'm optimistic that he's going to do the right things to turn the franchise around. Look, here I am. Here I go. Optimistic. He kind of quoted Sam Hinkie. Sam Hinkie gave him a nod back last night. He posted gritty. It's like rebuild. However, there's a part of me that's just like, I don't know. Why not give it this shot? We brought in outside people. That didn't work. In fact, it went way worse because the fans were like, well, we don't want the old culture of Broad Street Bullies, but we don't want a new culture. So there needs to be a balance. And I think that Jonesy and Danny Briere are the perfect balance to lead the Flyers into the future. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
And that's a really good point about old and new, but let me read the actual story. During an April 1st, 1999 game against the Nashville Predators, Lindros suffered what was diagnosed as a rib injury. Later that night, his teammate, who was sharing a hotel room with Keith Jones, discovered Lindros lying in a tub, pale and cold. In a call to the Flyers trainer, was told to put Lindros on a plane to return to Philadelphia with injured teammate Mark Recchi. But Jones insisted that Lindros be taken to a nearby hospital. It was discovered that Lindros had a collapsed lung caused by internal bleeding to his chest wall. It was estimated he bled out more than half of his body in total blood volume. Lindros's father wrote a letter to the Flyers and stated if Jonesy would have followed the orders that the trainer had given, Eric would be dead. That's crazy.
He saved Eric Lindros and now he's going to save the Flyers. Look, I remember that story vividly. And, you know, I like to see good people succeed, and not for nothing. He's a good person. And I think that the fans need to give him a chance is what I'm saying. Like,
yeah. And I do think that there's something to be said, like, because I agree that you can't constantly go back to the old. Like, it is halfway through 2023. It is almost 2024. It's going to be 50 years since the Broad Street Bullies, which, side note, did you see that they're going to put a TV show? It's called Bullies. And it's actually like a scripted show that's going to be based off the Broad Street Bullies. And it's supposed to be coming out like fall of 2024.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I did not see that. So,
yeah. Yeah. And I think you're right. Like, when you have an absolute iconic franchise like the Philadelphia Flyers, where a TV show is going to be made of the Broad Street Bullies, like, you do need to still hold on to a little bit of the roots, but you also have to evolve into, I mean, listen, the fact that that Las Vegas won the Stanley Cup, they only have existed for 6 years. That's it. Yeah. They only existed for 6 years, existed for six years, and they won the cup. So it's like clearly being modern works, right? There's a reason that modern works. And so you have to, and all these people, you can't listen to the noise. Like you have to listen to what's going to work. And if a brand new franchise can go from conception to literally winning the Stanley Cup in 6 years, then an organization, but what happens with, I think, organizations like the Flyers, where they've been around so long and it has this rich history that people want to hold on to that, and you need to evolve.
And, you know, it's, I think I'm intrigued to see what happens. It, for what this has, and maybe just because I'm biased, and I'll admit that, you know, I didn't really speak out when Jonesy was named president of hockey operations, because I didn't want people to be like, well, you worked with him, blah, blah, blah. So maybe I am biased, but this has really piqued my interest.
Okay, in good.
The team again, which is why I'm bringing them up, because I there's something about this new front office that makes me feel, I just feel better. And look, maybe it is because I still think of Jonesy as saving Eric Lindros when I was.
Yeah. But maybe it goes back to so much what we talk about is energy and karma. And like, maybe, you know, maybe that's the thing, the vibe.
Yeah. He's going to come back and he's going to save the
je ne sais quoi.
Is, Rob Zombie isn't involved in the TV show, is he? Because years ago, I remember hearing that Rob Zombie was going to make a movie about the Broad Street Bullies.
There was a documentary about it, and I will tell you right now, so it's not officially on a streaming service yet, and I'll read.
Was that Rob Zombie's?
I don't know, but let me, hold on.
And unfortunately, what happened with me and the Flyers was, again, this was a lifelong love affair. Like, if you knew me in my childhood, if you went to school with me, you knew that I was A, the crazy Philly sports fan girl, and then B, I was like the Flyers girl.
So a documentary that HBO Sports did in 2010 called Broad Street Bullies is an actual documentary.
That was Rob Zombie, right? I thought it was 2010.
Yeah, 2010. This is a new television series inspired by the Broad Street Bullies. Director Jeff Hart calls the series Rocky Meets Slapshot, set in the freewheeling boogie nights of the 1970s.
I have the chills.
And it'll go behind the scenes and show the never before seen personal side of those connected to those wildly exciting hockey teams. The underdog Flyers won the Stanley Cup in 1974 and became rock stars around the Philadelphia area while just in their seventh year of existence. So very similar to like what happened with Las Vegas. And then I do the fun fact. I think I talked about this before, how I babysat Bobby Clark's grandkids.
Yeah.
I told you that before. But then anyway, so like Dave Schultz, Bernie Parent, Bobby Clark, Ed Snyder, Fred Shiro.
Yeah. He was the coach during the cup run.
Yeah.
The cup titles in the '70s.
Yeah. And Gene Hart. And it says limited series. They call Labor of Love, expected to run 2 seasons. The start date of fall of 2024, which is 50 years after the Stanley Cup won their first, the Flyers won their first Stanley Cup. I'll send it to you.
So the Flyers are going to win the Stanley Cup in 2024 is what you're saying.
We're going to go for it. We're going to go.
Oh, and they brought back John LeClair. So from that era in the mid 90s where they made that cup run with Eric Lindros and the Detroit Red Wings beat them.
Well,
so
hopefully they bring back some of the old school, and like the old school is smart enough to make it the new school, you know?
Yeah.
So a really good baseball little tidbit before we go into like the pop culture stuff that's been happening is that the Yankees pitcher, Domingo Erman, right? Because you don't pronounce the G. He threw the 24th perfect game in NLB history last night, which was massive. There's been only 24 perfect games in MLB history.
It's amazing.
I'm always still, though, confused the difference between a perfect game and a no-hitter.
No-hitter?
And I'm like, why is it called a no-hitter when people hit the ball? They're like, yeah, but a hit means you have to get to base.
Yeah, so
like, that's the term in baseball. I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. If the ball hits the bat, that should be a hit, but that's not technically the term.
So the perfect game is where one or more pitchers complete a minimum of 9 innings, which no batter from the opposing team reaches any base. To achieve a perfect game, a team must not allow any opposing player to reach the base by any means. No hits, walks, hit batsmen uncaught third strikes, catchers or fielders interference or fielding errors. So that is a perfect game where nobody reaches the base by hits or any on-field errors.
Right. I think the no-hitter is when you could still get to base by being walked.
Yes.
And that's crazy because there's, I remember looking it up that there has been teams that lost the game even though they had a no-hitter. Yeah. So they get to base by being walked, but not, and an actual hit means you have to make it to base.
Yeah. Where
I think it should mean you hit it. But like, if you hit it and get out, that's not considered a hit.
Correct.
Yeah. So congratulations. It's annoying that he's on the Yankees, but very amazing that he was. And
Clayton Kershaw almost had a no-hitter last night.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But he didn't. So, oh, well. Yeah. All right. So I think it's safe to say, you know, I'm always so superstitious and I'm like annoyed that I'm always so super, like, I hate the fact that I'm superstitious. I don't want to be superstitious anymore. And like after the whole thing with the Sixers and the snake and like it didn't work. Look, we still have our damn seance and I'm like, screw it. But like after everything that's been happening over the last couple of weeks, I just feel like it's time for us to say that the Eagles are officially America's team.
I totally agree. And we've been saying this for years because, and I don't even understand. Here's a lot of the problem with the NFL is I think that they still think that it's 1996.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
They very much still do. I mean, you can tell by how 2000 and late they are with basically everything in society and life and everything else that falls underneath that.
And yeah, they are really late. And it was funny because I worked the Barefoot Country Music Festival and one of the newer artists is from Dallas. And she was like, but we spent time in Philly. And I'm like, it is weird. They call the Cowboys America's team when like literally America was started in Philly. And I was like, yes, exactly. And so this is what we're talking about. Okay. So first it happened last week where Taylor Swift was spotted walking into a recording studio wearing an Eagles sweatshirt.
Yes.
And everybody gasped. I mean, the way that I gasped, first of all, it took me 15 minutes of solid social media research to be like, is this a new photo? Is this a real photo? I was like freaking out because Taylor Swift does not do anything that is not overly calculated. She doesn't just randomly wear clothes. She doesn't just pick a piece of clothing off the floor and put it on. Everything she does is going to be analyzed and photographed, especially when she's going into a recording studio. So it's like the fact that she chose to wear the Eagle sweatshirt. Why, Taylor? Like, what is the reasoning?
Do you want to hear my theory?
Yeah.
So, I mean, she came to Philadelphia, called it her hometown, debatable.
Which did we talk about this? Why I was like, yes, it is her hometown because Reading does not have a stadium and like it's the closest to her hometown.
What about Hershey?
She didn't play in Hershey.
I know. I'm just being a brat.
I'm so adamant about, I hate when people say you have to be from like the actual like Philadelphia lines where I'm just like, no, if you live in Ben Salem, it's Philly. If you live in Cherry Hill, it's Philly.
Reading is not Philly. Reading is its own. Reading is like the middle of Pennsylvania.
But it's still it's technically her hometown show. Like if Reading had a stadium and she played in Reading, then it would be her hometown show. But like, if you live in Reading, you fly out of the Philadelphia airport. You root for all the Philadelphia teams. Like, yes, it's not in the Philly suburbs per se, but there's a ton of Reading listeners that listen to XTU. Like if you're going to a concert, if the concert isn't at Hershey, there's not many concerts at Hershey's, like you're coming to Philly to so like.
But then what about what she said in Nashville?
But I say I have two hometowns. Like I'm from Summit Hill and I'm from Philly. I am. Like I've lived almost equal amounts in both places. And so I have a very strong love for Summit Hill and that's my hometown. But like when I was in Italy and people were like, where are you from? I say Philly. I don't say Summit Hill.
Yeah. But I see the thing is,
I get it.
I felt like she was pandering, but I believe because she moved when she was 11 from Reading or 12 to Nashville. And that's when her dad got her into the business. So I don't know. I believe that it's fine. It's not a big deal. I just disagree. But But here's why I think she was wearing the sweatshirt. I do believe she's an Eagles fan.
Do you believe that when Bradley Cooper says he's from Philly, like he's from Jenkintown, that bothers you?
No, because Jenkintown's literally right outside the city limits. I stand up and I like to joke and say that Nova's not Philly, but it is.
Okay, right. Yeah, like, I agree. It is. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that is fine. I feel like Reading is far enough of a drive that she could be like, we're close to my hometown of Reading. You know, I grew up an Eagles fan. It's fine. Look.
Not every all right. And go back to the sweatshirt.
And you know how annoying I am about this kind of stuff. And that's just a character flaw of mine. So
no, I don't think so. I think that that's why it's fun, because it's a passionate conversation.
No, I don't know. People have accused me of gatekeeping, but I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like it's convenient. Here's my thing. It's convenient to be from Philadelphia when you want to be from Philadelphia. And the rest of the time, people don't want to claim it.
That makes a lot of sense.
Where it comes from. And it's nothing personal against Taylor. If John Legend, who I absolutely adore, came and said, if he was from Reading and he said, I'm back in my hometown, I'd be like, John, you're a couple train rides away. You're about an hour away. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that. Yeah. I feel like it's.
But I also think it's a good thing. Like, my whole campaign has been like, Philadelphia can be, it actually makes sense. We were talking about the Broad Street Bullies, right? And like, the Broad Street Bullies have this whole where it's like, it's gritty. It's the stepchildren. It's just this, you know, everybody's angry. Everybody's, you know, just like, right.
And this is probably part of the problem. That's my attitude is probably
my campaign is like, we could make Philly cool. Like, Philly is different now. Like, let's stop being a victim and let's start saying that like, Philly's cool. And like, it's a great place. And we have amazing athletes and sports teams and the city looks awesome. And like, let's change the narrative. I'm all about like, we could still seep in the roots of the deep history and still have a little bit of that grittiness to us, but we also could like evolve and be like, I mean, I just like Bryce and like, they're just cool. They're just, you know, they're hard workers, but they're just like, you know, it's like a little sexiness to us. Like, it's okay. Yeah. It's okay to like, right. So, okay. So why do you think she was wearing a sweatshirt?
Well, I think because she is an Eagles fan, and this is what I'm saying. I give her, like, she's always talked about being an Eagles fan, whatever. So I feel like, and her recent breakups, I feel like maybe she's in the zone, right? If Taylor's bringing out her inner Eagles fan in her to truly like showcase that she's a fan publicly, I feel like maybe she's like lit up on the inside and the album's going to be insane. That's what I think. I said, she's bringing out her inner Eagles fan, the passion. She's going to that Matt Healy breakup. And then the guy before him, what was his name?
Joe Alwyn. Yeah.
Joe Alwyn. That was 7 years, right?
Six, but yeah.
6 years. And then she just broke up with this other guy. I'm like, she's going to sing her little heart out in that Eagles sweatshirt.
Because I'm like, if Fly Goes Fly, Taylor's version is coming.
Because like, you know, yes. And oh my God, wouldn't that be amazing? And it's like, think about like when you put, I don't know, when you put on your game day clothes or like, I don't know, when you wear fan attire, I think, you know, you're representing and like, I don't know. I loved it. I love that she was.
Oh my God. I loved it. But here's
like, that album is going to be so passionate.
I love that. Like, she's being a passionate Eagles fan. So she like needed the passion. I do think that like, it's interesting. The breakup really quick of Joe Alwyn. I don't know if we talked about this in the last podcast, but I'll make it really quick. Cause like there's two other stories, but so they met after her whole kind of like downfall of like Kim Kardashian, Kanye West, you know, she had the girl squad and like people were really just like down on her. And so she kind of like was a recluse, right? She did a Reputation tour, but it was very early in the relationship. She didn't do any press and then the pandemic hit. And so then she was just like holed up in the UK being cold and rainy as like a coastal grandmother. And Joe Alwyn was like, I'm going to do some acting, right? And so they were never photographed together. They never did anything. And they were in the pandemic and she did Folklore and Evermore. And it was like, you know, this whole, you know, wearing slacks and blouses, you know, and like wavy hair, didn't put a product, not even an anti-frizz serum, you know, she did like, right. And like, and then she like released Midnights and people like freaked out and then she put the tour together. And now Her tour is projected to be the first tour ever to clear $1 billion. And I think she was like, hold up, wait a minute. Like, I'm motherfucking Taylor Swift. Like, I'm a fucking star. And like, I think that's what happened. Well, at least everything that I've also read, and it makes so much sense to me that like, Joe didn't want it. Like, he liked them being not a secret, but he liked them living in the UK, like him doing his little projects, like her just releasing an album. But she's like, no, like, I want to be who I am.
She's like, I have to go back to the States and make $1 billion by selling out the largest arenas in the entire country for multiple nights. That's
she just added. So she was the first artist ever to sell out 5 nights at SoFi in LA. She just added a 6th night. And this is how crazy it is. The people who got to buy the tickets were the wait list. The public couldn't even buy the tickets. There were so many waitlisted tickets for the 6th show. Like, so she sold 70,000 tickets that were waitlisted. That's how many. So 6 nights at SoFi Stadium. Like, it's insane. And like, I think it's very much like Tom Brady and LeBron and Kobe, where it's like, these people are just, they're just in another dimension. And I think she was sick of like living. Right. And so when she knows that she's going to be photographed, like walking into the recording studio, it's like, she knows all eyes are on her. So I thought that was awesome. So then the second story is that Zach Bryan, who's like one of the biggest country stars now, which is really interesting because he has something in the Orange, which is like a medium radio hit, but he like blew up online over the pandemic and he was living in Philly. I mean, Zach Bryan's so big that he sold out 2 nights at the Wells Fargo Center at the end of May in the round, meaning the stage was in the middle of the arena and they sold 360. Like, that never happens. Like, that's how many people were there to see him. It's crazy. And so he, known Eagles fan, like at the games, his girlfriend Deb is from here. They lived in Fairmount and then they broke up. And everybody was like, oh my God, he's going to leave Philly because he's really from Oklahoma, but he's been on tour. And so over the weekend, he was playing in New York and New York Giants quarterback Daniel Jones, he brings him on stage and Daniel Jones is singing and you know, and Zach's smiling. And then all of a sudden, Zach grabs the microphone from Daniel Jones and looks at him, goes, "Go Birds!" Like right to his face on stage.
Amazing.
Yeah, like amazing. I was like, that's because I think everybody was really worried that Zach is going to leave Philly because he's no longer with Deb. So, but we're like, okay, we're like, that's good. And he also brought, when he played at Red Rocks, Zach Bryan, he also brought Christian McCaffrey on stage. You know, yeah. Christian obviously played for North Carolina. Now he's at the 49ers. And Christian McCaffrey did a piano solo on the keyboard. It was so good.
What?
Yeah. He's like a secret talented piano player.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So then the best Eagles story was that last Friday, it was the X2 anniversary show with Luke Bryan. And so I wanted to bring Luke something Eagles because Luke's a massive Georgia Bulldogs fan. In fact, when I interviewed him like 2 years ago, it was for St. Jude, and Luke's always very nice. I never met him before, but anytime I talked to him like over the phone, but very like businessy, right? And so this was like 2 years ago and he's talking about St. Jude and stuff. And I was like, by the way, that Georgia had just lost a big game. And I was like, by the way, you know, I was really upset. Like I'm a Penn State fan, but I was rooting for your Bulldogs. I can't believe they lost. And like a switch flipped on him. And he's like, let me tell you, they weren't playing defense, right? So I remember that. And like, obviously Georgia had won the national championship 2 years in a row. And then the Eagles go and drafted all these Georgia players. And we have all these, you know, we're the NFL team with the most Georgia football players. So this is the first time I'm meeting Luke. So he's really, really, really nice to come up and just kind of hang with us backstage a little bit. And so I went up to him. I was like, oh, you know, I'm Nicole. I do afternoons. It's so nice to finally meet you. And, you know, he's like, oh, I said, I really appreciate you being here. And he's like, yeah, you know, I love Philly. I go, by the way, I really wanted to bring you Eagles gear since you're a fan now, since we drafted all your Georgia Bulldogs. And he goes, and his like face lit up. He starts smiling. And he's like, yeah, you did. He's like, and that is really good. And I'm going to use that tonight. And I kind of thought he was just like bullshitting me. And I was like, yeah, you should. I'm like, I was really hoping that like Jordan Davis or N'Kobe Dean or like Jalen Carter would like come to the show, you know? And he's like, oh yeah, you know your stuff. I was like, yes, actually I have a sports and pop culture podcast if you ever want to be on it.
Right.
And Lipstick League, feel free to listen. And he's like, oh yeah, yeah, that's hilarious. And so again, like artists say stuff all the time. And so sure enough, fast forward like 2 hours later, the show starts. And I always like to record when the artist is talking.
Yeah.
Because I just feel if they're gonna say anything. And sure enough, like if you see it, I'll share it to the Lipstick League's page, but like it was awesome. Like he literally was like, Philly, you need to thank me because the Eagles drafted all my Georgia Bulldogs, and like everybody's like freaking out. And then he did do a Santa Claus joke, which I'm like, Luke, like old news. But he goes and says, which I thought was hilarious. He goes, yeah. He's like, man, you bring up sports and football with y'all and you all lose your shit. And then everyone starts doing like E-A-G-L-E-S. And he's like, see, like it was so cool. And the NFL reposted it and Sports Illustrated reposted it and Barstool reposted it. And the Eagles reposted it. Like it was amazing. Like it was like a really cool, like viral moment.
And it's because of you, because you gave him the intel, Nicole.
Gave him the intel. And somebody was like, oh, I can't believe he didn't give you credit. I'm like, guys, Luke Bryan did not remember my name. like it's fine. Like, I'm just glad that he did it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But it was weird because that all happened within like, it was like Taylor Swift was spotted in the Eagles shirt on Thursday. Luke Bryan did the shout out Friday. And then Zach Bryan did the Daniel Jones go bird on Saturday. So it was like this whole weekend of like all this Eagles momentum. And I'm like, this is awesome that like, it's, you know, cause Philly is so, sometimes like we forget, like we're our own world, right? Like we're just in like our own land. And the fact that we were able to like jump out and all these like Taylor Swift, like, geez, there's no one bigger than her, but like Luke Bryan's massive. You know what I mean?
Know.
Like, it's just so cool.
It's well, you know, and I think a lot of it is the artists know, because we're all over the news nationally all the time for the fans. So the artists know like when they're coming in here, who they're playing for, but it's like, I love like the Luke Bryan, like that's genuine. He's like, he comes here, you know, he adopts the city. He lives here. Then he gets on stage, you know, when he makes it and he's like yelling, go birds. Like that's amazing. And I agree with you. It's like, there's this shift now where I feel like again, this is me being petty, but I'm like, everybody wants to be an Eagles fan. Mm-hmm. And because I think that they see how passionate we are here. I did this podcast with the British and Irish Eagles.
Yeah. Yeah. So where are they based?
They are in the UK. I should have asked more thorough questions, but they're in the UK and there's a whole group of them coming over in November to go see Eagles Dallas.
Wait, really quick. Let's just do a quick side note. Speaking of the UK, but it was announced that the Phillies are playing the Mets in London next year, which is so fun.
Yes, that's going to be amazing. I said dollar beans on toast night.
Yes, make I it love happen. It. I need all right, to go back to the podcast. So they record in the UK, or they split between the UK. Well, I guess technically,
oh no, they all live in the UK.
Okay, because Ireland's in the UK. Yeah,
yeah, they're all from the UK, and they're just these group of passionate Eagles fans. Now I was the one being interviewed, but we should have them on maybe to ask them about how they became Eagles fans. Cause I didn't even get to have that conversation.
Yeah. So what did they ask you?
They just wanted my thoughts on the season. Like it was very like technical sports based, like who I thought was going to be like a breakout this fall, yada, yada, yada. Really, really great guys, but it was so nice. Like they kept calling the field, the pitch.
Oh, so fun.
I was like, oh my God, that's so cute. You know,
that's,
and it's like
so cute. Yeah.
It's so, I love seeing that there's so many people who like want to be a part of and are a part of the passion of
100%. Yeah.
And it's interesting. Like you look at the UK and they have European soccer or European football, which those I had a friend tell me once that he said, Natalie, you've never seen anything like European soccer fans. He's like, you think Eagles fans are bad? And I believe it, right? You see
100%,
all over the world how crazy they are. But I'm like, it's nice that American football is now kind of starting to reach the other side of the pond, because it's not over there,
right?
Everybody becomes an Eagles fan. And yes, we are America's team. It's not 1996. even though the NFL thinks it's 1996. That's the only reason why, was because the Dallas Cowboys merch was like so popular because of Troy Aikman in the 90s that it's like that's a feeble reason for them to still be America's team when they haven't even won a Super Bowl since then. And you're right. It's almost the 4th of July and Philadelphia is the birthplace of America.
Woohoo! Did they say if they went when the Eagles, because the Eagles played the Jags in London, right? Were they there for that? Did they play 2 years in London?
No, it was just 18.
Right? It was just the one time.
Yeah, because I read my updates in a British accent.
Did you?
Yeah, on the air.
Oh, that's so fun. And they won. Remember they sucked and then they ended up winning?
Yes.
We need to start saying God bless America and fly, Eagles, fly.
That is what we have to say. God bless America and fly, Eagles, fly.
I mean, it's an eagle. Like, it's just...
You know, I don't know if it's because I live in Old City now or I've discovered my roots, but like I've recently, you know how I get on my kicks with like weird
totally things? Yeah.
I'm like really obsessed with Ben Franklin right now.
I get it. Yeah.
Like all about Ben Franklin. I saw people flying kites on the beach in Avalon over the weekend. I was like, I want to fly a kite. And I'm like, Ben Franklin flew kites. Like, I don't know. Like I'm really kind of been just, I get hooked on topics and I'm like, well, what was it like back then? And how did they do this? And like, I don't know. I'm here for the Eagles as America's team. And you heard it here first. And
you're right, like in regards to like the Dallas merch, because the merch in the 90s was cool. It was the silver, the blue, the stars. It was like the first team that really like understood the importance of the merch. It was just like the Lakers with the purple. Do you know what I mean?
And Charlotte Hornets. Everybody had a Charlotte Hornets starter jacket, but nobody actually liked the Charlotte Hornets. It was just,
yes,
most of the girls had the jacket because they were like, I love this color blue.
Yes. And a lot of people wore 49er stuff too, because it was like it goes back a lot of the times to the players, right? So it goes back to the fact that they had, you know, Joe Montana and then Steve Young, and they, you know, when kids, and that's actually this guy in my building, Omar, he loves 49ers. So it was really fun because Richard, the guy who is our door guy, he's obsessed with the Cowboys. And then obviously there's a lot of us that are Eagles fans. And then Omar loves the Niners, but he loves the Niners because he was a kid. And like, that's when, you know, Joe Montana was like, awesome.
Yeah.
And then Steve Young. So a lot of times, it's just like now why people love Steph Curry. Do you know what I mean? Because they people love the Sixers because of AI, like they love the player and then they end up loving the team.
But like I agree, like you can't crown a team, America's team, that hasn't technically been any good since the 90s. I mean, they're always solid. Look, don't get me wrong. I'll give credit where it's due. They're solid. Kind of not really recently. Cowboys always feel like a threat, right? But are they America's team? No. And more so the case, before the Eagles, it probably should have been the Patriots.
1,000%. Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't understand. And
also not a coincidence. Very historical.
Very historical. And I'm not trying. And again, I'm not trying to like, whatever it, this isn't me just having bias against the Cowboys. The Patriots should have been next. Now it's the Eagles' turn because we are America's team.
Yes. And on that note, God bless America, fly, Eagles, fly.
God bless America, fly, Eagles, fly. We'll talk to you soon. Mwah.
Mwah. I know.